God speaking through the prophet Joel says, "In those days I will pour out my spirit." And Jesus recorded for us in John's Gospel tells his disciples that the time will come when they will be given another one to be with them like him who is the Spirit of Truth, who will be not only with them, but in them. That is his promise, the promise which was there in the prophets as well. And today we come to celebrate the fulfilling of that promise, the coming of that one to be as Jesus was for the disciples, to be the life of God in our midst. And not just in our midst, but in our very beings, to be in them, part of who they are, part of who we are. St. John tends to get things all tumbled over each other, and he merges Easter and Pentecost into each other, and here we've heard the promise of the Spirit from John 14 today, and over recent weeks we will have heard other readings from John's Gospel in the Easter season. And you'll remember how it is in John, that it is on the evening of the resurrection that Jesus appears among his disciples in the upper room and breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And they receive that one who is to be God, Jesus, with them. He had told them that he would not leave them as orphans. He would not leave them alone. They wouldn't be abandoned when he was taken from them. And the Spirit comes to be Jesus with them and in them. And in that wonderful account from the Acts of the Apostles that Guy read for us, with all those people from all those different lands, it's a Bible reading nightmare, that one. In there we heard Luke's account of the fulfillment of these promises, as the Spirit comes and rests on each of them, touching them with the fire of God, and they become different people. They are changed. The locked room is exchanged for the public square. And there they speak to all who are there, all who've gathered for the festival, about the wonderful works of God. And the miracle perhaps is not so much the miracle of tongues, but the miracle of understanding. And what happens there in Luke chapter 2 is the reversal of what had happened in Genesis chapter 11, the story of Babel, when the languages of the people are confused and they may no longer communicate with each other and understand one another. And the confusion of language here is undone so that there is a wonderful richness as the loving work of God is made known to all who will hear. This, says St. Peter to the crowds, is nothing less than that longed-for day when the very Spirit of God is poured out on all people. When that life of God, which we heard about in the book of Genesis, when God breathes into the first human being and the first human being becomes a living being, when that same Spirit is breathed on all of us and gives life to who we are. The disciples receive, and then the disciples give. It was thought that they had been on the bottle, even though it was only 9 a.m. But no, they had received something that was far more enriching and intoxicating. They had received the champagne of the Spirit, which, with all full of bubble and life and all the rest of it, changed them. And that same gift is on offer for us today. The disciples had, as it were, handed that Spirit on, as Jesus had breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So they, in turn, had been sent out, and so the life of the Spirit had been spread. And thus, "Come, Holy Spirit," can be our prayer today. "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people. Kindle in us the fire of your love." To pray that prayer requires an openness of heart and mind and spirit, a willingness to be changed, because there's no point praying, "Come, Holy Spirit," unless you're prepared for that to make some difference. It's about allowing our person to be formed by the person of God, our character to be shaped by the character of God, our life to take on the pattern of the life of God, reflecting God's person, God's values, God's priorities, God's qualities, and God's will. And it isn't just a day of Pentecost thing. It's an everyday thing. Come, Holy Spirit, is that prayer which should be the prayer for the beginning of each day. As we begin the new day, it affects the persons that we are in each and every setting, in all that we are and all that we do. We have three of our young people being confirmed this morning. They're hiding at the moment over there somewhere, but they are here, I assure you. And our prayer for them is really that prayer, come Holy Spirit. It is for the confirming or the strengthening of their lives with the Spirit of God, for the Spirit to invigorate them and to fill them afresh. They are to be Spirit-filled disciples, like those folks in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost, those whose lives have been touched, as it were, with the flame of God. And they are to be part of the Church of God. You folks here, representative of the whole Church of God across the whole earth, a Spirit-filled being, the Church, which is the temple of God's Spirit, the dwelling of God's Spirit in us together. And because we are filled with the life of God, there should be that about us which gives off the flavor and the savor of God. Those who have anything to do with us should be able somehow just to sense that we are those who have been with God, and God through his Spirit is not only with us, but in us. Our lives have been touched. We have been filled. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, to individual Christians, that we may be formed in the way of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, to the life of the church, that we may be God's instrument to show his light and his love in this world. Come, Holy Spirit, to the very world in which we live, that the Spirit may transform the face of the earth, and that we may see the things of God in our midst, in the world in which we live, even sometimes in the unlikeliest of situations and people, that God is at work through his Spirit in the world, bringing about change. And so we, empowered by the Spirit, are to go out into that world as individuals and as a church. The end of our service today has a kind of commissioning for us in the power of the Spirit to go out as the apostles were sent out by Jesus from the upper room. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And this going out is not just a sort of added extra for the super devout. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. It's part and parcel of what it means to be those who are filled with God's Spirit. It's part and parcel of what it means to have the courage to pray, come Holy Spirit, that as with the disciples on the day of Pentecost, we are ready to be those who move out from our locked rooms and out into the square. Out into the square to undo the confusion of the world as tongues are unraveled. That's our calling, just as much as it was theirs. There's plenty of Babel out there. There are plenty of voices shouting, do this, do that, do the other. Political parties, lobby groups, all sorts of people who think they know how the world should be and how life should be lived, and their voices can be very confusing. Pray God for the unraveling of the voices, that by God's Spirit we may bring clarity, we may bring light and life, we may bring justice and peace within this world. We are to merge from our locked room and with those disciples move out into the public square of Jerusalem. And as we know, they went not only to Jerusalem but Samaria and to the ends of the earth, such that you and I in our generation can hear that same message that was proclaimed then, the message of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, that God will pour out his Spirit on all peoples. And our going out from our locked room may be about how we individually and together act in relation to our local community here, as you do already in so many ways. Thinking about our spiritual response to the needs of our community, our neighbourhood. How we work with each other and with Christians of other traditions as well to bring about God's purpose and God's future for the world in which we live. It's about how we engage with the wider world. It's the end of Christian Aid Week at the moment, which focuses a little bit on that. But in so many ways, the opportunities there to engage not just with our immediate neighbours, those who live next door, but those neighbours who are in other parts of the world, and doing all we can to cement our relationship with them. Come, Holy Spirit. Today, in this service, you will listen in, as it were, as our three people who are being confirmed say the things that they're going to say. And you'll pray with them and for them. But as you do that, think of yourselves also. Renew your own commitment to be a child of God, to be a follower of God. And pray for yourself that prayer afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your people. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen.
As a child of God, we are one day going to meet our Father. I would encourage you to shut your eyes and just imagine.
Point in the service where I have the joy and the privilege and the pleasure of introducing my three candidates. They've been referred to en masse so far. So let me introduce you first to Shin and twin sister Sophie and Oliver Bradley. Come on down, the time is now, as they say. Come and stand before your bishop.
Before presenting these three for confirmation,
my pleasure.
Welcome to the three of you. And thank you not only to you, but many others I know in their families and in the life of the church here who've encouraged them on their way and helped them to come to this point.